Each and every Friday afternoon, we look forward to having a chat with Gavin Morris from NBN. He joins me this afternoon. G'day, Gavin. How are you, mate?
Oh, wow. Yeah, pretty good. Busy. What's going on? I mean, it's just wall-to-wall work. I've got to stop.
Have you got a break over Christmas?
Yeah, it's scattered. I've got this next week off for this world record attempt over the next week, and that is just so stressful. It's like it's hardly a week off. It's more flat out and stressful than just about anything else I do. But that's the price of adventure. You know, you've got to get everything together, and it's hardcore, hard work. But that's fun. And then I got a little week off in between Christmas, New Year, and spend that with my lady and my son. And then back to work, and then I got another 2 weeks off at the end, another one there to spend, you know, a little bit with my lady and my son, and then another week off to do another flying competition there, XC camp up at Manila. So, yeah, a little scattered, you know, breaks here and there enough to get me through.
Let's come back to the flying. Let's talk about the weather for the next week or so. I read a story today in the newspaper that Sydney, New South Wales, around that area, basically this weekend we're fairly lucky that we haven't experienced the heat wave that seems to be across Australia everywhere else. Victoria having, CBD of Melbourne having temperatures today and yesterday 38 and 40 degrees, for God's sake.
Yeah, look, it's a classic northwest feed. It's the heat that drives down from Australia's heat engine, which happens time and time again. It's cyclical. You get a large period of time with very little cloud cover over central Australia, so it gets hot. It's a big continent, and there's no sea breezes in the heartland, so there's nothing there to clear it. So the pool of hot air builds, and it just sits there until there's a weather event that comes along and moves it. And the weather events that usually move it about 90-95% of the time are these fronts that come in from the Great Southern Ocean and sweep across the Bight. And it's a nice blast of cold air. We simply know them as a southerly here on the coast. But when they're strong enough, they generate a northwesterly airflow. And the hot northwesterly winds then begin to blow. And this is when we have our very dangerous bushfire conditions. The hot, dry desert air, very low humidity count, then spills right across southern eastern Australia. And this is why Adelaide is, well, you know, one of our furthest south cities, but they have very hot, elongated periods of extreme heat because they're actually closer to the heartland. So when the northerlies blow in Adelaide, and they've had some incredible periods of above 40 degrees night after night, and the minimum staying above 30 degrees or 28 degrees, and that's because the northerlies that are blowing, and that is drawing that hot air from central Australia and down across the city. I remember, well, it must have been more than a decade ago. I think I was with the Weather Channel then, and it was a terrible heat wave that killed a lot. Heat waves kill more than any other weather phenomenon. And it's a terrible thing to talk about, and it doesn't get any press or whatever, but the morgues there in Adelaide were filled to the brim. They had to bring in shipping containers with refrigeration because there was just so many passing away, usually the elderly, you know, that obviously can't afford air conditioning or whatever, and that they really feel the heat. So when there are heat waves, you've got to check on your nan, you've got to check on the elderly. Make sure, you know, you're looking after those around you as well that are of age. Check in, and if they don't have air conditioning, ask them over for that day, because it can be a really brutal time and a struggle street to get through with those hot nights and hot days. So that is what's happening right throughout the southeast. They're getting a real taste of it throughout Adelaide and Melbourne, and that heat is getting forced across New South Wales at the moment. It's been very hot right across the central west, northern west plains. That heat is spilling over the Riverina and the southern plains. It'll be pushed to the mountain areas. They'll see 30 degrees up on the tablelands. The Upper Hunter, we'll see the mid to high 30s unfold across the weekend. But if you're on the coast, all you have to do now is have a look out at that ocean, particularly at places like Newcastle and the mid-north coast. And it's a white-capped mess out there. What happens is, you know, we have so much heat build up, it starts sucking in the ocean air, the cooler ocean air. And the hotter the land gets, the faster those winds become. And that's when you get extreme sea breezes like we've got at the moment. Very powerful sea breezes. On the bright side, it cools all of those coastal suburbs, and that's why 80-85% of Australians live on the coast. They're enjoying those sea breezes, but they don't go that far inland, and there can be a massive temperature change. Just 10, 15, 20 k's inland, it can be, you know, a stark different story.
Well, as you would know, the local studios are situated at Sandgate here, which as the crow flies would be a couple of k's inland. I'm always amazed at how there can be a 10-degree temperature change between Sandgate and the coast of an afternoon.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I lived in Narrabeen in Sydney on Sydney's northern beaches there for a while when I was with the Weather Channel, and one of the most extreme sea breezes I ever experienced, I was on the Narrabeen Peninsula, and I'm standing there right on the edge of the road, and, you know, there's two little streets there on the Narrabeen Peninsula. One is the beach side and the other one's the lakeside. And I was on the beach side, and I'm just standing there at the end of the road, and I'm standing in the sandhills, and it is 40 degrees. I've got a westerly, and I walked down the little track, and I walked to the water's edge, and it was that 10 to 15 degree temperature drop. It was extraordinary. By the time I got to the water's edge, it was quite cool. The sea breeze was literally running right along the water's edge, and you could take 10 paces back, and it was 40 degrees again. It was just one of the most incredible sea breeze experiences I've ever had, that it was such a defined line in between the back of the sand dunes and the water's edge. So you're in the water and it's a howling sea breeze out of the northeast and it's quite cool, and then you just walk to the edge of the sand dunes and you're there sunbathing and you're absolutely melting in the hot 40 or high 30 degree heat. It was just truly extraordinary about how defined that line was.
So the next week, warm.
Look, next week is going to be interesting. It's not good for what I'm attempting to do next week, but it's going to be good as far as return rain is concerned. You can see on the satellite there's quite a lot of mid to high-level cloud now that's making its way across southern Australia. It's associated with the trough lines there, and a front there is, you know, pushing across the bight. So that cloud is going to move in over Victoria, and that'll deliver some relief as we move across the weekend after this burst of very, very hot air. And that cloud will then start to engulf, and it's going to be quite slow-moving. It'll move over northern Victoria, over the Riverina, and sit there over southern New South Wales and along the Murray. And then it'll eventually push in over the central west plains and the tablelands. There's not much rain in it. It's mostly mid to high level cloud that will begin to shade that part of the country and begin to ease the heat. Northern New South Wales overall is going to remain really quite hot as we move into early next week. But it does look like by the middle of next week that we're going to see another rain-bearing system build. And it's one of those northwest moisture feeds that I've talked about on your program before, that, you know, draws down from the northern tropics, and that's where we pull our moisture down from, and then we get a nice big low that forms, and then we have rain for the interior. So it looks like that is going to occur. The charts are still, you know, wavering all over the shop at the moment, and it's making it a little bit of a hard one to predict, but it definitely looks like we're going to see rain for the drought-stricken areas return yet again, and it looks like it's going to be fairly widespread by the time we get to around about next Thursday. So the middle to latter part of next week looks like it could be, you know, a rain return event for the majority of those inland areas in the broadcast region.
Okay, we've got 3 minutes left. Let's talk about what you're doing next week. A world record attempt, a flying world record attempt.
Yeah, look, it's flying paragliders. The team that I'm flying with at the moment are all already out there. They've been giving it a crack. They're up to about day five now. I just had word from them. They're on the other side of Parkes, and they're hoping to fly to Wilcannia in southern New South Wales. So that's where I'll probably be meeting them tomorrow. What we do out there, we launch up off the back of a winch along a big straight road or airport that we can find on a property. And once we're in the air, we release, and then we start searching for thermals. If there's clouds, makes it easier. And we're literally jumping from cloud to cloud to try and fly as far as we can, as fast as we can. So the objective is to stay in the air all day long to try and reclaim the record for Australia. It was held here for a long time by Godfrey Wernes north of Tamworth at Manila. There he's got his flying school there for many, many years. Back then it was 338 kilometres. Now we've flown 400 kilometres, and Seiko had that world record for the girls, which he did here in Australia, but it got broken 2 days ago in Brazil, and she's there to reclaim that record. But we've now flown 500 kilometres, so the objective for them is 600 kilometres. For me, I'd love 300. If I got 400, I'd get the Australian record. But, you know, that's the objective. But otherwise, just get out there and have fun. That's the main thing, and play it safe. But it's a fun, big adventure, again, that I'll be on all of next week.
So you just have a kite, is that right? You don't have any motor or anything like that?
Absolutely no motor. The motor is the sun and the drifting winds. So it's aviation in a backpack. It's like a parachute, but it's a cram air wing. So on the front of the airfoil, there's gaps. The air comes in. It makes an airfoil. And, you know, it's always going down. So that's why we're looking for rising air. And underneath all those cumulus clouds, that's a column of rising air. We want to jump in that. We circle in it. We rise up to cloud base. And then we jump through the section of sinking air to try and find rising air again. Climb up again, go on glide. Climb up again, go on glide. And keep doing that and that until the sun sets. And then, you know, you look at, see how far you've flown. 100, 200, 300, hopefully 600 kilometres. Then we'd have the world record back here in Australia.
And how do you, what, fluids on your backpack or in your backpack?
Fluids, yep. I've got a bladder in the back, so I'm taking water, but I'm moderating that because obviously you don't want to be going to the bathroom all the time.
Sure.
Lots of different ways. It is the most asked question. I pee in Ziploc bags and then pour it out. That's how I get through that situation. But, yeah, protein bars I like to have, little lollies, sugars. Things like, you know, carrots are pretty good, but that's a bit hard to keep fresh. So I usually stick with the protein bars these days.
All right, mate. Well, look, the very best of luck. Boy, oh boy, I love it. Aviation in a backpack.
Yeah. Leonardo da Vinci would love it, man. That's all he ever hoped for, and now we do it.
We reckon we're going to, for Christmas, sell Gavin Morris action dolls.
All right, I want one.
All right, mate. Are we talking to you next week? Can we catch up and see how you went, or are you in the air?
We have no idea where we're going to be. We'll be in the outback somewhere, but with this rain event, it may shut us down and bring us back towards civilization. So give me a call next week, and I'll fill you in. Who knows?
Okay.
Just don't know how it'll unfold.
All right, we'll play it by ear. Sincerely, thank you, and the best of luck. We will be, as they say in the States, rooting for you, mate.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
See
you. Have a fabulous weekend. Try and stay cool this weekend, and I'll talk to you next week, hopefully.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.